if you're a fan of Hamilton, you are going to love Mexodus. This groundbreaking musical combines history with hip-hop to explore the untold stories of enslaved people on the Underground Railroad to Mexico. Brian Quijada and Nigel D. Robinson give tour-de-force performances while using live looping to create a musical in real time. Mexodus is now playing at Mosaic Theater on 8th Street Northeast through June 15th. Get tickets at mosaictheater.org. That's mosaictheater.org.
Today on CityCast DC, it is a delightful story of parents behaving badly. The Wall Street Journal's James Finelli is here to walk us through his epic story about a Northwest DC Little League conflict that led to litigation, a blue ribbon panel, and other things that only happen when youth sports take place in a neighborhood thick with power lawyers. Stick around and listen. It's pretty wild. Today is Monday, April 29th. I'm Michael Schaefer, and here's what DC is talking about. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Mike. Good to see you.
Awesome to see you, my friend. So you got to write this great journal, A-Head, the fun story on the front page. And it's about one of my favorite genres of DC phenomenon, which is elites behaving badly. In this case, elite parents of a little league. What precisely happened here?
Okay, well, Little League is a big sport in DC, obviously, and around the country. And what happened was some parents on a Little League team believed that there was cheating going on in the team. And they believed that a coach was bringing in ringers to help his team win and also to help him later be the coach of an all-star team that competed in some of the Little League International regionals that is like the run-up to the Little League World Series.
How is it supposed to work that like the players on this league teams get selected?
How is it supposed to? It's supposed to be just a fun thing for kids to learn like the basics of baseball and instruction and for kids to have fun. But in this case, it became a very polarizing conflict. What's supposed to happen is kids, you know, sign up for Little League. They get drafted to be on team. And then the draft is supposed to kind of make things fair where, you know, all the talent is evenly distributed. And in 2022, there's this one team in the Northwest Washington, D.C. Little League that was crushing all of its opponents.
What was the name of the team?
The name of the team was the Grays. And they were coached by a longtime coach in the league named Ricky Davenport Thomas. He also happened to be the president of the Little League as well. And they were crushing people. They were winning sometimes by 15 runs. I think one time they won 21-1. There's mercy rules at some point when you win, but you're winning too much, they're going to end the game early. And there was rumblings that there was some kind of cheating going on because everybody couldn't really figure out why this one team was like so stacked with talent versus others. And one of the dads of one of the kids on the team, this guy, Mike Klitsch, started looking into it. He didn't feel right about it. And he started asking questions. And eventually, he felt strongly that the coach, Ricky Davenport Thomas, was cheating. And he vocalized that. He alleged that the coach had brought in ineligible players from other leagues, right? Because in Little League, what happens is you play in the league where you live or where you go to school. So that those are the boundaries for how you get into a league. And this guy, Mike Klitsch, the dad, was saying, hey, this guy has brought in talent from outside the league, elite talent, and he's not allowed to do that. And also, he accused the coach of making those players that were brought in look like they weren't that great or talented so he could pick them like as a number four pick in the draft rather than make it his number one pick. And that allowed him to kind of stack his team. And this became a big deal.
There was a mom on the Grays who was also involved in this.
That's right. Erin Sweeney. So you have to realize that, you know, like this Northwest Little League is in a very affluent part of DC, right? And the people who live there are hyper-educated, very well-paid professionals. A lot of them are law partners. A lot of them are lobbyists. There's journalists whose kids are in this league.
Mine are strictly mediocre at baseball. So.
Okay. And so there's a lot of important people in this league, right? In DC world, at least.
So these guys then write a letter of complaint that's like, it's not just like a, hey, we got suspicions. It reads like a legal brief.
It's like a legal brief, right? So before they actually wrote this like manifesto, basically, they tried to raise it at board meetings for the league, right? And they were kind of shot down. They were told, why are you making such a big deal of this? Let it go. There was some people who like said kind of funny things like this. We're not a Bank of America board. We're just a little league. Sometimes this stuff happens. Move on. But Mike Klitsch and this mom for another child, Erin Sweeney, they're both lawyers and they're law partners. And they know how to really kind of investigate something and get things done. And nobody was listening to them. So they kind of compiled this really detailed list of allegations and published it. And after that, it roiled the entire league and families started getting mad at one another. They were ostracized. They claimed that their kids were retaliated against. And it led to the league finally looking into it, though. And the league created a blue ribbon committee to look into the allegations.
It's a classic answer in the law partner class.
Exactly, right? And so you would think that was it, but no, because
then, so who's the Blue Ribbon Committee?
The Blue Ribbon Committee, well, if you listened to what Mike Klitsch and Erin Sweeney said, it was people who were very supportive of Ricky Davenport-Thomas, the coach who's being accused of cheating. And he was the president, and he was on the nominating committee that picked the special committee that looked into these allegations. And he helped pick the people who looked into it. And they said, wait, hold on a second. There's a conflict there. And so eventually, you know, they wanted to, Mike Klitsch and Erin Sweeney wanted to pursue this on their own. And so they wanted to have access to league records, and they were being stonewalled, they said. So they filed this. So let's just for a time frame. The Blue Ribbon Committee is created in the September of 2023, and they are unhappy with that committee. A few weeks later, they file a lawsuit where they are basically detailing all the allegations and also saying they're being stonewalled and they're demanding access to all the records.
So they take them to court.
They take them to court. That's right. And you would think like, you know, it's not that big a deal, but it becomes a big deal because a really powerful white shoe law firm gets involved, Steptoe, which is like a firm that, you know, the former CEO of Goldman Sachs hired to represent him, right? And it represents Exxon and it represents many other powerful and important people and organizations, right? But Steptoe decides to defend the league in this lawsuit because they want to do some pro bono work.
I mean, wait. Isn't pro bono work supposed to mean like getting people off death row?
Yeah, you would think, right? But apparently this qualifies as pro bono for Steptoe. And Steptoe, it does have a connection to the league. One of Steptoe's partners, his son, played also on the Grays. This is the team that is being accused of cheating.
And I'm right? going to guess that the complaining parents viewed this as a conflict of interest.
They viewed this as a conflict of interest. Steptoe had also been brought in by the Blue Ribbon Committee. That's, you know, they were going to be basically helping them conduct this investigation. And so eventually they spend hundreds of hours and manpower looking into these allegations and doing their investigation, helping the committee do that. And at the same time, they're also spending time defending the league.
So hundreds of hours for Steptoe. And what do they usually bill per hour? If it was a free market?
That's a good question. I mean, I would say, you know, at least over 1,000, right?
Like, so we're talking like we're getting into the millions of cost here.
Yeah, but it's pro bono. So what you would think could be something that could have been hashed out by just like parents talking to one another has become like this epic battle, right? We have not only Mike Klitsch and Erin Sweeney saying they're being like retaliated against and mistreated. But they also have this Blue Ribbon Committee looking into what's going on. And then we also have Mike and Erin making these allegations in court and having to go to court where the judge is going back and forth with both sides, listening to them about whether or not the case should be thrown out or not. And the judge doesn't really see it being thrown out, encourages them to try to reach some kind of settlement. He comments that it's a pretty litigious case. So that goes on for months. And you talk to some parents, right? Ricky Davenport Thomas, he didn't talk to me for the story, but he has denied these allegations and denied any wrongdoing. And Ricky has many supporters among parents. They see him as a guy who's like devoted a lot of his, you know, time to this league and has really, you know, cares about the kids and has done a lot of work to help them become like better athletes. And so he has his defenders, and some of them say this whole thing is ridiculous. One person I spoke to who's got a kid who was coached by Ricky said that Aaron and Mike were basically on this like rage campaign that was going to tear down the whole league, that their whole crusade was petty and pointless.
And you wrote that like another parent who is also a lawyer, but was on the, you know, pro coach side, called Aaron's employer and said, your employee is doing, you know, bad stuff in Little League.
Right. It wasn't Aaron's employer. It was actually Mike's employer. There was a lot of little like blow ups at times. One of them was by a Justice Department attorney who had a kid in the league and I guess had grown upset with the fact that Mike kept on sending, you know, blasting out emails to parents in the league, giving them updates about what was going on. And she got fed up with it and emailed his employer, which he works at another firm, and basically said she thinks he's harassing the parents in the league. So Erin Sweeney mentioned that in her lawsuit and pointed to the irony of it, right? Because she works for the Justice Department, which on its website talks about the importance of whistleblowers in cases that they bring. Mm. And, you know, I think Aaron and Mike see themselves as whistleblowers and they felt that she was trying to quiet them by her reaching out to his employer.
Let's be real. Lawsuits are not fun. But with Paulson & Nace, at least they're a little easier. Paulson & Nace is a DC law firm in every sense of the word. It was founded here in 1979. The two partners, Chris and Matt Nace, were both born here and are local leaders who care deeply about the DC community. Paulson & Nace handles medical malpractice, wrongful death, and other complex injury cases when someone has been hurt by the negligence of others. And they don't just settle every case. They'll go to court. They'll fight for you. Paulson & Nace has even been recognized as one of U.S. News' best law firms. So, if you have been hurt or have lost a loved one because of someone else's mistake or negligence, call Paulson & Nace for a no-obligation consultation. Visit www.paulsonandnace.com or call 202-463-1999. All right, so this story is a super DC-centric story, at least in my part of DC. It went viral when you published it in March, and people were sharing it around and so on. This is our world. You don't actually cover DC. You cover big law. And I'm curious how, like, when big law personnel are involved, is this a thing that happens in Little League conflicts and school play disagreements and so on all over the country? Or is this like a only DC lawyers get up to this kind of nonsense?
That is a good question. I cover federal prosecutions in New York, right? And a lot of the white collar defendants that I cover have these like powerful law firms who represent them. I have not seen a comparable case where this has happened in other parts of the country. And I will say, like, the story not only went viral in DC, but I got a lot of reader feedback from around the country. People were writing in with their own little war stories about their Little League, where they would say, oh, the same thing is happening in our league, except we don't have the means and the wherewithal and the DC lawyers to like actually do anything about it. So it did strike a nerve. It seems like people suspecting that teams are being stacked or there's some kind of cheating going on in Little League seems to be a common theme throughout the country, or at least in like different parts of the country. But I don't think it reaches this level like it has in DC.
I hope you have a good agent, because I feel like this could be like a great like black comedy kind of movie with, like, I don't know, like Will Ferrell is like the overwrought parent or something.
I support that idea. So hopefully someone wants to do that.
All right. So bring us to the end. It ends in a settlement. And then what happens?
The settlement came out right before our story went to print, the day before. And it was a settlement that was reached after like weeks of, you know, back and forth. And actually, you know what? I think just a little bit before the start of the spring season, the settlement involved a few things. One, it basically acknowledged that the coach had brought in two kids into the league who were ineligible. Those kids were actually eligible to play in like two nearby little leagues, but they weren't eligible for this one. So they acknowledged that. They also set some new rules. One of them is that you can't basically continue to be on the board after your kids age out of the little league. It also required the board president to like issue a statement, basically apologizing about how this had gone on for so long and how they acknowledged that Aaron and Mike went through a lot over the time frame of these allegations. And they also agreed to apologize to the leagues where the ineligible players actually should have been playing in.
So the complaining parents won.
The complaining parents won. They did win. And part of the deal was that Mike Klitsch gets to coach the 12 and under Little League All-Star team for his league. So that means his team will play a bunch of games in the summertime. And if they win those games against other DC leagues, they could potentially go to the Little League International Regionals, which are in Bristol, Connecticut, right? And those are the precursor to the actual big World Series event that takes place in Williamsport, Pennsylvania every summer.
Well, that's a kind of potential that could tempt a guy to bring in some ringers.
That's true. But I don't think Mike Klitsch would do that. So he's a pretty straight shooter, I think. So, yeah.
Wait, and there was also some fallout for Steptoe.
Yeah, it wasn't like the best scenario for Steptoe in this whole thing. At one point during the legal proceedings, they even filed a letter that in it, like they talk about how there's these alleged conflicts that we have. People are alleging these conflicts. We took those allegations to our ethics counsel to kind of vet them out. So I think they were concerned that there was a look, there's some kind of an appearance of a conflict. And the other problem is, too, that the settlement acknowledged that there were some concerns in the report that the Blue Ribbon Committee, you know, they had done their investigation and they wrote a 40-page report where they basically said that mistakes were made, but the coach had not done anything intentional and there was no intention of cheating. So that was what the report said. But the settlement acknowledged that some of the findings in the report raised concerns.
And now that coach is banned.
Yes, he's banned from coaching some of the divisions. He'll be able to, I believe, coach some of the older divisions.
Do you see any other leagues in DC coming under this kind of fire in the future? Or is this is this something that's going to be an object lesson? Don't litigate about Little League.
I think the other Little Leagues were very aware of what was going on in the Northwest Little League as far as the allegations go, because that Northwest Washington Little League team that went to Bristol, Connecticut in the summer of 2022, they beat all the other all-star teams in DC and got to go to Bristol, right? And that was when there was the alleged cheating was allegedly taking place. So those other leagues they were aware and they were annoyed about these allegations. They felt that, you know, it was unfair what happened. So I don't see them doing anything like this themselves. I think all these leagues just want to get back to playing baseball and having their kids have fun.
Hey, Jim, thank you so much for telling us this story.
Thanks, Mike. It was great to talk to you.
And that is all for today here on CityCast DC. If you enjoyed the show, why not tell a friend, rate the show, leave us a review, and subscribe to our morning newsletter. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Bye.